I'm going to encourage you, if you would, to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of John. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, please. If my memory serves me correctly, I have never approached this subject. I've mentioned things and messages along the way, but I've never approached the subject that I'm going to approach today as far as an entire message or lesson on the subject. I want to preach today for a little while on this subject, lessons from the life of Judas. Lessons from the life of Judas. Let's stand together and I'll begin reading in verse 60 of chapter number 6 in the book of John, John's Gospel. The Bible said, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, and we'll go into what they heard a little bit later in the message, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who. I want you to notice there's a plural. There are many that do not believe, Jesus is saying here. But there's one. That's a singular. And who should betray him? And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Notice verse 66. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. You remember that Jesus has just walked on the sea. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And yet, the Bible said, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Now, I want to get you to see something here. Judas wasn't one of them. Judas continued on. As far as externally looking at the outside, he didn't go back. He went right on. And the Bible said, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, I love this. Let me ask you something this morning. If the Bible's not true and Jesus is not the Savior, where are we going to go? What would we do, Brother Caleb? I'm glad the Bible is true. I'm glad Jesus is the Savior. Watch what the Bible said. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Look at verse 69. It's very important. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can I get an amen right there? Are you sure? Do you believe that for sure? You say, Pastor, what difference does it make? Simply put, heaven or hell. That's the difference it makes, whether you believe that or not. The Bible said, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. You can be seated and pray with me, would you please? Father, thank you this morning, God, for the wonderful service thus far. And Lord, I don't claim to know why you put this on my heart, why at this moment in time, but Lord, just as you knew from the very beginning who would betray you, You knew about Judas and what he was going to do. You knew, Lord, from the very beginning of the world who would be in this service today. God, I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray, God, that you'd give me clarity of thought and mind to deliver, God, what you've put in my heart. Thank you, Lord, for my people. I pray, dear Lord, that when you come, each one would be present in the city of God. Lord, I thank you for your love and your tender mercy. Help us in our country, Lord. We're not out of the woods by a long shot. We need help. We need mercy. We need to turn to the God of our fathers. Lord, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. Just by way of introduction, I want to mention something that would, I believe, help you to see maybe the seriousness of the subject. We, today in our society, it's not uncommon to run across a boy or a man named Jack or John or Jacob or James or Jackson or Joey or Joseph or Jonah or Jeremiah or Jason or Jeremy or Jensen. I got that one over there in the prayer room, Jensen. But when's the last time you heard of a little boy named Judas? We don't name our children Judas, do we? Judas has a bad reflection because he's the one that betrayed Jesus with a kiss. We name our little girls Jane and Julie and Judy, Jade, Jessica, Joy, Jennifer, Jenna. But when's the last time you heard a little girl named Jezebel? It's important to understand that God put these things in the Word of God for a reason. And He wants us to learn some things from the life of Judas that I believe will be beneficial and be helpful. The first thing, I'm just going to give you four things today, but the first thing I'm going to give you in this lesson from the life of Judas is there's a huge difference between being in the right crowd and being in Christ. I said there's a huge difference between being in the right crowd and being in Christ. Jesus said in another text, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we done not done many marvelous works in thy name? They were in the right crowd. Have we not prophesied in thy name? They had the right appearance. And Jesus said, I'm going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Years ago when I read that text, I'm not adding to the Bible, but this is a truth that God put in my heart. I believe God's people ought to work. Amen? Let me give you an example. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's talking about salvation. But now watch this. Watch the service of the Christian. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Bible said that we are to be careful to maintain good works. Amen. I don't know about you, but when it's time to change oil in my truck or Miss Eve's car, we change it. Why? Because if you don't maintain them, they'll lay down on you. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't maintain good works in your life as a Christian, you'll lay down on the Lord too. We don't want to lay down on Him. We want to serve Him. Amen. Because He's worthy of our service. Serve Him till He comes. Watch what the Bible said here. What threw this curveball to these disciples in this day. Jesus, if you back up into chapter number 6, in verse number 50, the Bible said, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Do you understand that over there when Jesus said, the spirit quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing, they were looking at this from a fleshly attitude. They wanted Jesus to set up his kingdom right there. They couldn't believe that he was headed to Calvary. They couldn't believe that he was going to die for the sin of the whole world. And so they misunderstood. And Jesus, the Jews in verse 52, therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? All this is talking about right here, beloved, is the difference between the external and the internal. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection must be internalized. That's why the Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's why the Bible said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus is telling them, I'm headed to Calvary. I'm going to spill my blood, shed my blood on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to give my life. And unless you're willing to receive that death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, if you please, then you can in no wise be saved. We must internalize. And Judas, he had the external. Let me give you something that God just put in my heart as I studied this. If I was reading through the Bible and I was going to tell you someone that, you know, was going to go to heaven and somebody that was going to go to hell, I probably would have spotted old Peter. He's over there cursing. He's over there denying that he even knows him. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's the difference? Let me show you the difference. I just read it to you a while ago. The Bible said here, there are some of you in verse 64 that believe not. That's the difference. You go down a few verses and Peter said, that ain't me. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, I can look out over a sea of people, but I can't tell you who believes and who believes not. But I can tell you this. My Savior looks past our faces. He looks past the physical. He looks down on the inside of every one of us. And he knows, beloved, listen, who believes and who believes not. He knows those that, beloved, that are in Christ and those that are just in the crowd. He knows the difference. He knew the difference in Judas's day. And he still knows the difference today. I, listen, am thankful that there seems to be a move of God going on in America. But at the same time, I'm a little bit fearful. Listen, it's more than picking up a Bible. It's more than going to church. It's more than starting to pray. There has to come a time of genuine Bible repentance, amen, turning from sin and turning to the Savior. And if that's absent, there is no new birth. Judas, beloved, he knows now. There's a huge difference between being in the right crowd and being in Christ. Judas was in the right crowd, but Peter was in Christ. Thomas was in Christ. Philip
was in Christ. Peter didn't go to hell because he cursed and denied. Listen! And Judas didn't go to hell because he betrayed Jesus. Peter went to heaven because he believed, and Judas went to hell because he believed not. Amen. The whole world is in those two categories. Amen. Believe and believe not. There's a huge difference between being in the right crowd and being in Christ. I don't know about you. I was in the right crowd as a kid. That spoke to my heart about the bus ministry. Because some of you know it and some of you don't. But I was a bus kid. When I was young, I said a piece of candy was something. A piece of gum was something. Something we didn't have every day. And when that man and his wife would knock on that door on Saturday, don't tell anybody, but say something like this, "Ricky, are you going to ride the bus in the morning?" And they would come by faithfully. A Sunday school teacher, Brother Jason, I believe he was a little taller than you, and a whole lot coarser voice. I'm telling you, I didn't know nothing about the fear of God, but I knew about the fear of Howard Mitchell. Amen. When he stood up in front of you, "Boys, this is God's word. You're going to pay attention." Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He loved us. He had a night shift job, security in a plant. And all he had to do was walk around and check the gates and check the doors. And a lot of people, that's all they would have done. Then went over and laid down, went to sleep somewhere. But not Howard Mitchell. He was memorizing this book every night. He didn't have to open it to teach you the Word of God. He knew the Word of God. And he knew the God of the Word. And I'll tell you today, I was in the right crowd in that Sunday school. I was in the right crowd later when Miss Eve and I got married and God gave us our first baby. I was living like a devil, looking at my first baby and saying, "Oh my God, I can't keep living like this." My brother got saved and invited me to church, and I went to church and they asked me if I was a Christian. And I said, "Yes." And I didn't mean anything in malice because I thought being a Christian was just believing the facts. And I'd believed them all of my life. I didn't know anything about being a Christian. But I said I was a Christian because I did believe the Bible was the Word of God. I did believe Jesus died. But it was all up here. You understand what I mean? I'm going to tell you how you can tell the difference between here and here. There'll be a change. I mean, you can keep drinking your Bud Dumber as long as all you got's up here. But I tell you what, when you ever get a drink of living water down here, you'll be done with the Bud Dumber and the Miller Bolo life. Say amen. You'll be done with God using God's name in vain. You'll be done with them wicked thoughts. Amen. You don't mean you won't have one once in a while, but those birds don't build the nest in your hair anymore. You get them out of there. Amen. Because God is real. It's one thing, 6.5 years after that, I was in the right crowd. I was going through the right motions. I learned the right language. But I tell you, there come a night when I realized which crowd I was really in. I was in the believe not crowd. And the devil told me, "They'll throw you out of here. They'll laugh you to scorn." I found out something God had already said. The devil's a liar and the father of a lie. I don't believe there was a dry eye in the house, my pastors included. Beloved, Judas was in the right crowd, but he was not in Christ, and Christ was not in him. Peter On the other hand, he was in the right crowd. He didn't always do the right thing. But beloved, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I want to share with you in the message is this. Number one, there's a huge difference between being in the right crowd and being in Christ. The second thing I want to share with you is the Scripture has and will always be fulfilled. Go with me in your Bibles to John chapter number 13. This is important. In John chapter number 13, in verse number 18, in verse number 19, listen to what the Bible said. Jesus said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the Scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, though that when it come to pass, you may believe that I am he. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look back at John chapter 6 for just a minute. But there are some of you, verse 64, that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning. Y'all see that right there? So there's a prophecy. Turn all the way back in your Bible to Psalms chapter 49. Excuse me, chapter 41, verse 9. Psalm chapter 41, verse 9. Listen to what the prophecy said. Yea, mine own familiar friend. Did you know that in the New Testament, this blows my mind, Jesus called Judas friend? Did you know that? I read it last night as I studied. I can't remember exactly where it's at, but it's there. He said, friend. Watch this. He said, yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. You say, Pastor, I don't know how you could be encouraged in studying the life of Judas. Here's how I can be encouraged. God's word is showing us that everything that he prophesied, it either has been fulfilled, or you can mark this down, honey, it will be fulfilled. It's one thing to stand up and sing about the coming of Jesus. It's another thing to believe in your heart that before, beloved, that clock back there strikes 12, the Son of God could come again. It's one thing to say it. Another thing to believe it. Look at verse 21 through verse 27 of chapter 13 in John. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and he testified, and he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Don't you love John? Amen. Don't you love his attitude? Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him. He said to John that he should ask whom he spake. And he then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? There's the truth right here. You can read in the other Gospels, and they said, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Did you notice John didn't say, is it I? He said, who is it? You say, I don't understand the difference. Let me give it to you. John didn't know who it was, but he knew who it wasn't. He had his ear laid right over there on the heartbeat of the Son of God. He knew it wasn't going to be him. Amen. He wouldn't even call his own name. He'd say, that disciple whom Jesus loved. Many places he'd say, that other disciple. I'm telling you, beloved, he had the right spirit. He wanted Christ to be magnified, not John. The Bible said here, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. I want you to know, beloved, in studying the life of Judas, we ought to have an understanding that the Scripture has and will always be fulfilled. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter number 1. I'll begin reading in verse number 15. The Bible said, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled." Do you see that? "Which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was God to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry." Did you know, beloved, listen to me. I'm not trying to throw anybody a curveball, but let me give you a Bible, okay? He had part of the ministry, but he had no part with the master. You see, the Bible teaches in the book of Corinthians, amen, that no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And the Word of God said, and no marvel, for that his ministers are transformed into angels. Let me tell you something right now. Any man that'll stand in a pulpit like this, whether they're wearing a suit or a dress, you listen to me. And tell somebody that if they'll do this, maybe it's communion, maybe it's baptism, maybe it's membership, maybe it's give to charity, and you'll be all right, is a liar, and they're not of God, because there's only one way to enter into heaven, and Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Believe, believe not. Believe, believe not. That's where the whole world lies. Amen. Believe and believe not. "Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as the field is called in the proper tongue, Hakeldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have companied with us all that time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us." Beloved, Judas, he missed the master. And he missed the mercy of God. It's possible, number three, to kiss the door to heaven and yet go to an awful place called hell. Amen. You want to talk about getting close to heaven? Jesus said, "I'm the light. I'm the bread of life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the water of life." Judas kissed all of that and yet went to hell. I want you to look with me at Luke for just a moment. I won't be too long now. Luke chapter number 22, verse 47 and verse 48. "But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" That's verse 48. I missed verse 47. Let's read it. "And while he yet spake, behold a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the twelve, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" If you read your Bible, you will understand that Judas was the treasurer. And yet he missed the treasure. Think about that. A songwriter years ago wrote a song, and it said simply, "I found the treasure when I found Jesus." Really, to be more accurate in the song, it would be, "I found a treasure when Jesus found me." Amen. I heard an inmate say to a preacher one time, he said, "I found the Lord." The preacher said, "I didn't know he was lost." Amen. I know what people mean. Amen. Years ago, here in Kingsport, I've heard stories how that men would go to work and the whispering would start. So-and-so got religion. Honey, I'm going to tell you what, if there's a change in their life, they got more than religion. They got born again. Say amen. But that's what they would say. That's what they meant by it. Amen. There was a change you could see in their life. Amen. It's possible to kiss the door to heaven. I tell this story because it fits so well. The first church I pastored was in Wise, Virginia. And we had a man, Brother Gary, that had a job like yours in the church. He was a treasurer. And he called my house on Monday evening. And Miss Eve said, "Preacher's not here." He said, "You want me to have him call?" He said, no, I'll call back." And he didn't. He got up that nerve to call Monday, you know what I mean, and he didn't. Wednesday night, we had a funeral. And so we were just going to read a few verses of Scripture and have prayer, take up the offering, and go to the funeral. Wednesday night, when I asked for the men to come, in our church, we had just two men that took up. It was just two sections. Two men that took up the offering. And this man, his name was Brother Ron. Brother Ron stepped out in the aisle and threw his hands up in the air and came down the aisle saying, "Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, preacher." I said, "What is it, brother?" He said, "I'm lost. I need to be saved." Now let me give you something. I went home after giving this illustration. I went home and I'm telling you, the devil jumped up on me. And I mean, he said, "I made a fool out of myself." I gave an illustration 2 weeks prior to that in a message. And I said, "Here's the reason some people will never mention Jesus to someone else." And I gave the illustration. There was a man in the church that loved to bass fish. And he had been to Florida. He had been down there on those lakes in Florida. And he told me, he said, you put a chub on the line. And he said, "When that bass hits it," he said, "you don't want to jerk." He said, "You want to just let him swallow it. Make sure he ain't going to get off. Make sure you get a good hook set." And he told me, over his mantle, Chris, he had 3 10-pound-plus bass mounted over his mantle in his house. Big old bass. Largemouth bass, biggins. And he'd tell me the story about those bass. And you know what? It was all I could do to keep from yawning. You want to know why? I wasn't there. I didn't know anything about bass fishing. I hadn't caught a fish that big. The biggest thing I caught was a trout in the trout stream, probably about 12 or 13 inches long. I didn't know anything about that. But it was exciting to him to tell it. Well, when he got done, you know how we are. I just had to tell a couple turkey tales, Mark. Amen. I had to tell about hiding down between two rocks. And that morning, beloved, I was just learning how to use a diaphragm call. And the guy that I was hunting with, his dad was upstairs getting ready to come down. He said, "Steve," he said, "tell that pup to shut up." He was making fun of my turkey call. Amen. Said it sounded like a puppy down there. Amen. Well, I tell you what, it done. It fooled that turkey. I'm telling you, I put 34 pellets in his head and never put a shot in his wattles. He was that close. Amen. I about ripped his head off with that shotgun. Anyway, they quit making fun of me after that. Amen. But I told that story to the same guy that caught the bass. He had never turkey hunted a day in his life. Now it's all he can do to keep from yawning. You want to know why? He wasn't there. You want to know why a lot of people never mention Jesus? They ain't never been there. They ain't never known the joy of sins forgiven. They've never known the joy of a changed life. They've never known the joy of laying down at night with peace in their heart. Because, listen, not because of what they've done, because of what he did at Calvary, and because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They put their trust and their confidence in him. Ron got saved that night. My treasurer got saved. Every church ought to have a saved treasurer. Say amen, Brother Gary. Amen. I believe we got one, by the way, Brother Gary. But you know whether we do or not. Right? You believe you got a saved pastor, but I know whether you do or not. Say amen. Because ain't nobody can know for sure but you and Jesus. Amen. I ain't trading with nobody. Amen. I know what and that's the way you ought to feel about your relationship with Jesus. I see you nodding your head up and down Slater. Amen. I know what I got, preacher. It's more, I know who I got. Amen. Amen. Jesus. And Ron told me after he got saved that stupid illustration that I thought was so dumb is what brought him under Holy Ghost conviction. He said, I never mentioned Jesus because ain't nothing ever happened in my life. See, God can take our flounders and our failures and do something with them. I found that out about him. Amen. Sometimes when we think we're at our worst, we probably are, but he's at his best. Amen. He's getting something done for the glory of God. It's possible to kiss the door to heaven and yet go to an awful place called hell. Look with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 27, and I'm finished. Matthew chapter number 27. I want to look at a verse of Scripture here. Give you the last thing. Giving you three things so far. There's a huge difference between being in the right crowd and being in Christ. The Scripture has and will always be fulfilled. That ought to excite us as God's people. It is possible to kiss the door to heaven and yet go to that awful place called hell. And then lastly, in the end, it's not the silver that's important. It's the Savior. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 27. We'll begin reading in verse number 3. The Bible said, Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, I want you to see this, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I want you to see this, I have sinned and that I have betrayed thee. What's the next two words? Do you understand that now he knows, but it's too late? Did you know that the Bible teaches every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father? Every tongue, every knee. Every knee is going to bow, every tongue. But listen, many are going to wait too late. I remember dealing with one of our men's dad a little while back, a statement that God gave me. One of the men, the thieves on the cross, he waited till late to get saved. The other one waited too late to get saved. Think about that. According to the word of God here, 30 pieces of silver. He said, I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast the pieces of silver in the temple, cast down the piece of silver in the temple, and departed and went and hanged himself. I've read the story of the rich man in hell. I believe he was very remorseful. But it was too late. He said, send Lazarus. I need a drop of water on my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. He found out he couldn't get any help because there was a great gulf. Then he got concerned about his family. He said, would you send Lazarus to tell my five brothers not to come to this awful place of torment? He got concerned about his brethren. But he got concerned too late. Beloved, you and I that are here today, every one of us represent a believer or an unbeliever. There's no in between. Somebody said, I'm on the fence. You can't find that in the Bible. Jesus said, he that's not against us is for us. He said, if you gather not into my sheepfold, you scatter abroad. There's no fence straddling. You're either in or out, a believer or an unbeliever, on your way to heaven or on your way to hell. There is no in between. Judas, he realized that Jesus was the innocent blood, but he realized it too late. Lessons from the life of Judas. There's a huge difference this morning between being in the right crowd and being in Christ. There's a huge difference. I love the church at Bible Way. I mean that with all of my heart. I hope my life depicts that. But you won't go to heaven because you sit in this church. It's not the church that'll make the difference between heaven and hell. It's Calvary. It's the Son of God. Do you know Him? Does He know you? If you leave this world today, do you know for sure that heaven would be your home? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You today for the Word of God. Lord, it's a sobering message that You put in our hearts. Thank You, Lord, for Your salvation that is so full and so free. Lord, men have complicated it, but it boils down to what a man, a woman, a boy, or girl does with Jesus. They either trust Him or they don't. Now, I pray, dear Father, today that, Lord, if there's somebody here and they know good and well they have no peace in their heart, that they wouldn't run from You, but, Lord, they'd run to You. Because, Lord, You're certainly waiting to be merciful to every sinner that will come to You, that will call upon Your name. Help today, I pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around this morning.